Go to Hebrews in chapter 12. I hope you can make all the services, be a part of what's going on and the vision that your pastor has for revival. I'll take revival any way I can get it. One person at a time, one service at a time, one revival at a time, one church at a time. Revival is so important in the life of your Christianity. And it's not getting saved, but it's almost like getting saved over again, because it's that fresh renewal to the Lord and closeness to the Lord. You heard the story about a wife who gave her husband a challenge to take the $1 million challenge. He said, "What is the $1 million challenge?" She said, "Well, you got to swim that pond right there, but it's alligator infested. And if you get on the other side without getting eaten alive, then you get $1 million. He took the challenge. And about that time, when he's about to get in, he scooted across that lake and he got across unscathed, and his wife was jumping up and down and hugging him and said, "Oh, you did it. You did it. You won the $1 million challenge." He goes, "Yeah, but you know, I think somebody pushed me in the water when I got started." She said, "Well, you know what the old adage is, for every good man, there's a good woman pushing him along the way." So I thank God for my wife. I've often called her my balance wheel. Remember the old watches, you know, they would go tick tock, tick tock, tick. There was a balance wheel in those watches, and she's my balance wheel. I'd be a big dud in the ministry if it wasn't for my wonderful wife. We just celebrated on the 12th of this month our 45th anniversary of being married. So thank the Lord for my sweet wife. Thank God for her. Hebrews chapter 12. And if you can, stand with me. If you can, I understand those things nowadays more and more. If you can stand with me, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. This is a Sunday school hour, so I want to teach a couple of things this morning. The Bible says, "See that you," in verse number 25, Hebrews 12, 25. "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." That'd be a pretty good thing to do, to always keep your ears open for the Lord and what he wants, and do what he says. "For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then," what's that next word? "Shook." It's going to be mentioned here a few times. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I" what? "Shake not the earth only, but also heaven. For this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are" what? "Shaken." "That are shaken, as the things which are made," but "that are made." That's those things which cannot be" what? "Shaken may remain. Wherefore we," who are we? That's the saved, that's the child of God, that's the born again ones. "Wherefore we receiveth a kingdom that cannot be moved." Circle that word "moved." It's the same word as shaken. Same word, and it means to be shaken. "We cannot be shaken." The kingdom cannot be shaken. So he said, "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. That means we're on the winning side. When you're on God's side, you're on the winning side. Well, I want to teach you a little bit about that word "shaken" this morning. And a lot of things are being said in this old country. I hope you've not been shaken through all the pandemic. We're all survivors of it, aren't we? Can you imagine if I'd have told you in 2017 we'd gone through what we have seen and experienced and lost loved ones and friends? And just amazing, isn't it? And then the whole world fell under the dominance of the mask and all of that other stuff, even the leaders of Ayatollah Khomeini and all this stuff, all these kind of people. But truth is, my friend, God's still on the throne, and he's still helping us. And I hope that your faith is not shaken. I hope your faith's not shaken in church, faith's not shaken in your Bible, and that God is still preeminent in your life. Well, I want to pray, and then I want to give you something that I think I've been looking at, we've heard a lot about lately. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray now you'd bless now the Sunday school. Teach us, Lord, your word and your will. Help us to stay faithful in our service for thee. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful church members here, Lord, that I look forward to getting to know and, Lord, have fellowship with. Bless the pastors. He leads us in this revival. Bless the meeting, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, by way of introduction, I want to just talk about this here. The whole world is talking about a possible third world war. I mean, the news channels are talking about it. Preachers are talking about it. The radio's talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. I've been talking about this for a long time. The difference between Armageddon and a possible third world war. You go to Ezekiel and then you go to Revelation. They seem to be, as far as your commentaries are concerned, they seem to be a parallel. But when you look at some of the things of Ezekiel 38 and Revelation, Armageddon, you'll find out there may be a possible third world war before the rapture. It could be. I'm not going to rule it out. America's, sometimes we think we're too good to have God judge us. America has done so many things. We've been so far away from God. The first world war was Lenin. The second world war was Hitler. And we could be facing all kinds of situations right now. One bad move could cause the world to come together against each other. But the difference between these the possible third world war and Armageddon in Ezekiel, there are some nations involved. In Revelation, there are all nations involved. In Ezekiel, no mention of Christ. In Revelation, it's all about Christ. Is any of this making sense to you? I'm just making a comparison. In Revelation, the world's people are killed by blast, but not in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, it takes 7 years to burn the weapons. Not in Revelation. Not in Armageddon. In Ezekiel, there's no return of the saved. In Revelation, there is. Check out Petra in your Bible. And the second advent is mentioned in the Revelation. And then in Ezekiel, the light is not affected, but in Revelation, it is. In Ezekiel, there's no earthquake. In Revelation, there is. In Ezekiel, there's no river. It's all, the Bible talks about in Armageddon that the Euphrates River is going to dry up. And all the kings of the world and the nations of the world are going to march up that dried Euphrates River. And they'll fight the Battle of Armageddon. But that's not mentioned in Ezekiel. Just trying to give some comparisons here. In Ezekiel, there's Jerusalem is not lifted up. But in Revelation, it is. In Ezekiel, there's no blood to the horses' bridles. In Revelation, there is. In Ezekiel, there's no Antichrist. In Revelation, there is. In Ezekiel, there's no false prophet. In Revelation, there is. In Ezekiel, there's no Jew scattered again. In Revelation, there is at Armageddon. And then in Ezekiel, there's no third gathering, but in Revelation, there is. Just a few little things I jotted down. I've been hearing all this stuff about a third world war. Well, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. A lot of people say, well, we're going to be raptured out. Maybe not. Maybe not. I know one thing, whatever happens, we're going to have to be faithful to the Lord. So I've entitled this, Those Things Which Cannot Be Shaken. The Bible said, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. But then he said, but yet once more will I shake heaven and earth. Well, we know one thing. The Bible teaches everything under the rolling clouds are temporal. Well, what you see here will all be taken away, burned away, evaporated by a huge blast and a terrible fire of the Lord God. But the things that are not seen, the Bible said, are eternal. They're eternal. Let me give you 2 points that's mentioned in what we read just a while ago. Things that are shaken and things which cannot be shaken. Number one, things that are shaken. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. I just wrote down a few things about things when God shook the creation, when God shook the earth and the heavens. Number one, in Genesis 1:1-2, the Bible said he shook the heaven and the earth. And the Spirit of God moved. That word moved is shaken. Spirit of God shook this world and the atmosphere. And he did it, I believe, because of creation. Because right after that, that's just when creation took place. The first day was light and day and energy. We wouldn't have these lights today if it wasn't for God's creation of light and energy. And the same day was darkness and night. The second day, he created the firmament, the waters, the heavens. Third day, he created the dry land, earth and sea and grass and trees and fruit, the Bible mentions. On the fourth day, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the fifth day, he created every living creature. And no man can reproduce what God creates. And it's amazing what God did. And then on the sixth day, he created man. Now, I want to say very carefully right now that God was not confused when he created man. Right. Nowadays, they're saying, well, let the child be born, but don't fill out the birth certificate. Let him make the choice, or it make the choice of what it wants to be. There are all kinds of things that they want him to be. But God said, you know, when he created man, he said he created man, male and female, created he God. Created he. And so I don't know about you, but I want to just trust the Lord. We've lost our minds in this country. It's amazing what they're trying to get away with. And it's sickening. It really is. And then on the seventh day, the Bible said God rested. It had to be a lot of work for God to rest. Amen. But God rested. And then another time that he shook the world and shook the earth and heaven was at the flood. The flood, you go a few more chapters over in Genesis chapter 7, and the Bible said in verse 11 that the great deep was broken up. You check those words, broken up. It means ripped and torn and broken and shaken and torn apart. And so God did that at the flood. And by the way, it wasn't just any little old flood. We know that, don't we? It wasn't a local flood. It was a universal flood. He flooded this world 22 feet above the highest peak. And you kind of do a study, Noah's Ark had to have at least that height not to hit one of the mountains. But he did that. God did that. He flooded the world into the atmosphere. And then I believe he did that because right there in that same area in Exodus chapter 20, he gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave us the Ten Commandments right when he shook Sinai. And he said not to have any other gods before him. We serve the God with a capital G, not a little Amen. G. Amen. Amen. And we serve graven images. By the way, you look at the world and they're all breaking all of these commandments, every one of them, all guilty of it. And then, by the way, I just noticed Judge Roy Moore was awarded $8.2 million or $6 million to have him be exonerated for how they attacked him. He was the guy, he was the judge in Georgia that had the Ten Commandments in a big display when you walked inside the Capitol. And they told him to take it down. He wouldn't do it. And so he lost his judgeship. Then he ran for senator of Alabama, and he lost because they smeared his name. But they found out all that was a smear. All that was not true, so they just awarded him that. But thank God for a man that'll stand for the Ten Commandments. By the way, if they could get rid of the Ten Commandments, we'll lose our jurisprudence. Everything that all the laws we have today stem from those Ten Commandments. And then the third commandment was don't take the Lord's name in vain. Have you noticed, my friend, this world is taking God's name in vain more and more and more and more. When I grew up, the women didn't curse like they curse today. Even children are cursing now. My mentor that trained me in evangelism was evangelist Dr. Joe Boyd. He preached for 68 years, was faithful to the Lord, and he trained me in evangelism. And his wife said that one day they were in a restaurant way back when they were young, married, and he said somebody was cursing the table next to them. And he kept telling the man, don't curse in front of my wife, don't curse in front of my wife, don't curse in front of my wife. Finally walked over there. You got to know Dr. Joe Boyd. He was ex-All-American tackle for Texas A&M. He was ex-All-American wrestler and boxer. He was a first-round draft choice for Washington Redskins. He was a mean motor scooter. He stood way tall. And he walked over and he tapped that man on the shoulder. He said, step outside, please. He said, why? He said, you've been cursing in front of my wife. I told you don't curse in front of my wife. And this is the way Mrs. Boyd tells the story. They walked outside, and all you could see with that man's hat, he had a hat on, and all you could see with that man's hat in the window go, too, 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 too. Well, back in the day, they didn't allow us to be perverted in our speech and all that kind of stuff. But now we take the Lord's name in vain all the time. Then he said, keep the Lord's Sabbath holy and remember it. I'm glad you're in church today. Makes God happy. Amen. Makes the Lord happy. Then he said, honor your father and mother. Well, we could stop on all of these. And then he said, not to kill, then not to commit adultery, not to steal. And then he said, not to bear false witness. And then he said, not to covet your neighbor's house. Man, I tell you today, all this stuff is off kilter. They'll crash and grab you, and they'll go take your things from your home, and they just get out on bail or without bail. And it's amazing what we're seeing today. I think this world is being shook to its core, from laws right on down to the church house. Another time that God shook this world was at Calvary. The Bible said the earth quaked. The earth quaked, Matthew 27:54. Calvary. Aren't you glad there was Calvary for us? Aren't you glad Jesus died for our sin? But he didn't just die. He was buried and rose again. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a risen Savior. And thank God for his power to save. And then we get to this point where it talks about he'll shake the earth again. We read that a while ago. He'll yet once more. You'll find it also in the Old Testament one time. But he said he'll shake the earth again. In 2 Peter 3:10, the Bible said the day of the Lord, in that day of the Lord, the heavens and the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. You check that word great noise, and it's just amazing what you'll find, how God will take care of this whole earth with a great noise. And then he said, because of that, the elements of the earth will melt with a fervent heat. The elements of the earth will melt with a fervent heat. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the Bible said that he'll destroy this world with the spirit of his mouth. You check those words out, spirit of his mouth, it means to breathe upon. To breathe upon. Scientists are saying there's enough firepower in the skies to blow Jesus out of the skies if he comes again. Wrong. It's when he comes again. And when he comes again, they think they can blow Jesus out of the skies. They even say, well, one day the devil's got power. It's a chess game of power. And the next day God's got power. No, my Bible said God's always had all power. Amen. He'll continue to have all power. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death and hell itself. Right. Thank the Lord for his power, wonderful power. But the Bible said he'll destroy the world with the spirit of his mouth. One of these days I'm going to make a sermon when God had bad breath. Amen. If they try to blow him out of the skies, all he's going to have to do is go, and they're gone. Amen. The spirit of his mouth. I'm glad, my friend, that we have that God, the God of power like that. And then the Bible said he shook this world when hell was created and Lucifer fell. Isaiah 14, you know, the five I wills. But when Lucifer got to the place where he said, I will be like the Most High, God said, that's enough. That's enough. And the Bible said hell from beneath was moved to meet him at his coming. And, you know, I don't know about you, but maybe every time there's an earthquake, hell is enlarging itself, because the Bible said hell hath enlarged itself. Maybe every time there's a volcano, maybe hell's enlarging itself. But I do know one thing, my friend, there's room for any Christ rejecter that wants to go to hell, but God never made hell for you. Never made hell for me. He made hell for the devil and his angels. Right. And we don't have to go to hell. We can make the choice to go to heaven, but the same choice, men go to hell by rejecting him. You check out Sodom and Gomorrah, you check out Tyre and Sidon. It's amazing how they were swallowed up in the God's wrath. And so the Bible says that we need to trust him because hell is real. And then also the Bible said that this world's been shaken by the things that's worldly in this world. Can you imagine what we're seeing? I never dreamed in my lifetime I would witness with my eyes the things we see, the things that are worldly that's shaking us. It's shaking the world so much, they're changing. They're changing. Now it's becoming harder and harder to be a Christian. And it's easier to take on the attributes of what the devil wants and what God wants. We're going to have to be careful that we, like the Bible said there, that we refuse not him that speaketh. Refuse not him that speaketh. And then the Bible said because of the lack of morals, this world has been shaken. It's true, isn't it? I mean, what we're seeing right now, the perversion among even these, what do they call themselves, trying to teach our little children and trying to go to the libraries and trying to brainwash our kids in schools and all of that. We've been shaken. And yet they get away with it. yet they're accepted. You can't even talk bad about it. You can't even go against what they're trying to do. We need revival in this country. I'm glad the pastor's having revival. We need to make sure we're stronger in the Lord. Well, those are the things that were shaken. I could list many more. But let me give you some things the Bible talks about which cannot be shaken. Things which cannot be shaken. Number one is the gospel. Amen. Aren't you glad, my friend? It cannot be shaken. The Bible said the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that it's everlasting. The gospel, another good one-word definition for it, is salvation. Nobody could be saved without salvation. And if Jesus is the gospel, and without him we'd have no hope for heaven. But the Bible said you can rely on the gospel. You know, generations have tried to change it. They've tried to distort the gospel. They try to say you can't be eternally saved and all those things. But the gospel just keeps right on going through and people still getting saved. And I'm glad, my friend, we've had dozens saved this summer. Wonderful. In the campgrounds and the revivals and all the things. People are still getting saved. You just got to put the gospel out there. You just got to share the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then also another thing that cannot be shaken. Another thing that cannot be shaken is the love of God. The love of God. Aren't you glad he loves us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I'm glad I'm in the whosoever, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You go to 1 John 4, you'll find the love of God was mentioned, or God's love was mentioned 25 times. 25 times in one chapter of 1 John 4. But one of the best things is that he said he loved us first. He first loved us in that chapter. I mean, God's love was given for us. God's love was meant for us. I don't know why he did that. I don't know why he'd love us, but we're his creation. He made us. Bible said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. One of these days we're going to get a new body. I want to say, hurry up, Lord, hurry up, amen. But the truth is, God's love is wonderful. Another good word for God's love is forgiveness. Every man needs to be forgiven. Every man needs to be forgiven. And then another thing that cannot be shaken is the Word of God. The Word of God. What you're holding in your hand right there is dunamis power, dynamite power. That Word of God, kings and emperors and all kinds of people down through the years have tried to burn them, tried to do away with them, but here it is. Amen. I met with a man last week in Oklahoma City, and I had a lunch with him, and he's translating an African Bible for the African people. They have several different dialects over there and different languages in Africa. And he's taking the Word of God and he's translating it so they can have their own Bible. That's just what I'm trying to say. You can't do away with God's Word. God's going to make sure that it's like a steamroller. It'll be there when you're gone and it'll be there when everybody else is gone. And one day we're going to meet it again. The Bible said we have one that judgeth the Word. Now you know why your preacher preaches from it. Now you know why he expects us to live it, because we're going to be judged by that book right there. That's our judgment book someday. We have one that judges the Word. So my friend, thank God for that powerful book. Thank God for his Word. The Bible said his Word was in the beginning, and he was the Word, and his name is Jesus. The Bible said it's forever settled, that it endureth forever. Why is it so important? Because the Word is synonymous with Jesus. He is the Word. When Jesus came, he was the Word of God in the flesh. And then we have the written Word that he left us, and we can trust it. God wants us to trust his Word. Another thing, and that is the living God cannot be shaken. You can trust in God. You can believe in him. Go back over to the reference that we had in our scripture text verse. Go please to verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 12. Stay with me. Hebrews 12, 28, the Bible said, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom. Now, isn't it amazing? God created everything, and then he gave it to man. We made a mess out of it, didn't we? He gave all his creation to man. But look what he said. Don't worry about that. He said, wherefore we receiving a what? A kingdom which cannot be moved. A kingdom which cannot be moved or shaken. And he said, because of that, we must serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For he's a consuming fire. A consuming fire. Aren't you glad this morning that God loves us? Aren't you glad, my friend, that we can trust that living God in reverence and godly fear? He's a consuming fire. Not only did he give a man his creation, but he also gave us a kingdom. And that kingdom is eternal and it cannot be shaken. This old world, everything we see, everything you can touch, is going to be burned up someday. But he has a kingdom that cannot be moved. And we're a part of that kingdom. He said it's us. It's the saved, born again ones. And we're a part of that. Well, close your Bibles and look this way. There's a story, many stories of the Titanic, isn't there? But I clipped this one here. It's from April of 1912. The Titanic was disregarding repeated wireless warnings from a ship nearby and dozens of ships that it warned about its journey. And they didn't listen to those warnings, and they plunged into an iceberg. And in 10 seconds, it ripped a 300-foot open gouge into the bottom of that unsinkable ship. It knocked out so many of the foolproof compartments. People up front didn't, on top didn't know much about it. It didn't shake the ship that much, but people below began to run up and began to talk about what was happening. So immediately the captain of the ship and the wireless operators began to try to contact the Californian, which was 12 miles away, trying to put out warnings and for help and please come help us. But when the Titanic did not put out the warnings they should have or hear the warnings they should have, the captain of the Californian took the earphones off and yawned and went to sleep. And so the communication was completely broke down. The ship began to sink. It stood straight up, and you know the rest of the story, how it went down in the black abyss of that cold, cold water. And one lady began to scream, help us, please help me, somebody help me. And one of the men that was a part of the band, he was playing ragtime, he began to play spiritual songs and hymns. And he said, help yourself, only God can help you now. We all have to save ourselves. His name was Reginald Wallace. He was a bandmaster violinist. He's the one that put this illustration together. He lived through it, and he wrote this after he survived. He said there was 2,201 people that left Port of England, and they were headed toward New York, and only 711 finally made it to safe shore. And then he said these words. This is coming from a man who experienced the Titanic. He said these words, I wonder if we really are getting the message of God's warning. Sometimes I wonder, God give us all of the warnings in the Bible, but do we listen? Have we listened to what God wants us to hear? I don't know if America's listening. I hope our churches get closer to what God wants us to know. And revival's part of that. So be faithful this week. Thank you, Pastor. It's been a blessing.